One of the hottest topics in both health and sports these days is concussions. We now know that these brain injuries in football seem to go hand in hand. We didn't always know that. The story of how this information came to light is the basis of the new movie, Concussion.
If just 10% of the mothers in America decide that football is too dangerous for their sons to play, that is it. It is the end of football. Kids, colleges, and eventually, it's just a matter of time, the professional game.
Football aside, our next guest says concussions still remain subject to a lot of myth, mystery, and misinformation. And after suffering from one herself, she wanted to know more about what we know and don't know about these injuries and where concussion science is heading in the future.
Karen Schrock-Simring joins us now. She's a contributing editor to Scientific American Mind, where she recently wrote the article, Six Things You Should Know About Concussions. Karen, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So you say that even though news of concussions and their prevalence in the NFL is all over, there's still a lot that we don't know about concussions. Why is that?
Well, I think that it's because people think of concussions as something that happens to athletes or military personnel or kids playing sports. And when you think about those people, you think about their specialized health needs. When the average person, like myself, gets a concussion and we go to our primary care doctor, often that doctor doesn't know what the latest research says about how best to treat a concussion. And because of all the interest in concussions lately, there's a lot of new research coming out just this year and last year. And so we're learning a lot about how best to take care of people who have hit their head.
And you did get a concussion. You, not necessarily what you would call a typical concussion, which led to a lot of new finds about the whole area. But tell us what happened to you.
Well, I was rollerblading with my dog, which is something I do quite frequently. And I went down a hill that should have been in my ability level, but it had newly paved. And I didn't realize it till I was on the hill. And I went way too fast. And I crashed into a lawn to try to not break any bones or get road rash.
Which sounds smart.
and I hit my head, and so I went to the ER, not because I actually hadn't hit my head, but I did pass out, and I went to the ER, and they didn't diagnose me with a concussion because I had told them that I didn't hit my head, so that's a misconception that even some doctors suffer from.
Right, so there's finding number one. You don't actually have to hit your head to get a concussion. How does it work?
Well, if your head is jolted suddenly, or if you suddenly stop, any really quick acceleration or deceleration, the brain, which is sort of floating around in your skull in a liquid, can slosh and it can actually whack itself on the inside of your skull, causing sort of a bruise inside your brain.
So if you're involved in an injury that does not, explicitly involve your head, should you make sure that your doctor checks out your head anyway?
Yes. Usually you'll know because you'll start having symptoms. For example, I passed out. That was a red flag. You might also feel dizzy or have a headache or feel sort of nauseous, motion sickness type feeling. But if you're even in like a fender bender or some people have them on roller coaster rides where your head is being sort of jolted around, just watch out for that. If you have any head symptoms, mental symptoms, sort of vestibular symptoms like feeling nauseous, that can be a sign that you might have gotten a concussion.
Well, another thing that we've heard in the past about concussions, I've heard this, as a parent and as someone who's been friends with people with brain injuries, is that if you get that concussion, you need to rest the brain. Rest, rest, rest is something you hear a lot. Now it turns out that might be going too far.
Yes, well, you certainly need to rest your brain at first for probably 2 to 3 days. But the old recommendations, which sometimes were rest until you're symptom-free or at least rest for a week or even 10 days or so, those are outdated now. And now we think that after 2 or 3 days of really solid brain rest where you're not doing anything, no TV, no socializing, just really resting, after those 2 or 3 days, you should actually start trying to increase your activity gradually.
So ramp it up slowly. Should you be under a doctor's supervision as you do that?
Well, you should definitely see a doctor as soon as you think you might have had a concussion. So there is a doctor out there who knows that you have a concussion, and they're going to give you some similar advice to this. you should, they'll say to start your normal activity back up. Try reading, try cooking, try doing things around the house that you would normally do. And just as soon as your symptoms start feeling worse, stop and rest until you feel better again. And just keep doing that. It's sort of getting back into shape.
We're talking right now to Karen Schrock-Simmering. She's a contributing editor to Scientific American Mind, and she's sharing some new research about concussions. And Karen, another one of these things that we've been told is that if you have a concussion, you should stay awake. Or if you do doze off, you should have people wake you up every hour or so. Is that still true?
Well, the thinking is that that's kind of outdated as well. And, you know, Hollywood hasn't caught up because every time somebody hits their head on TV, they're being forced to stay awake, right? So actually, after about 4 to 6 hours, most of the danger is past. And again, you need to see a doctor if you think you might have a concussion or if you've hit your head and have any symptoms. But after about 4 to 6 hours, if your symptoms aren't getting worse and you don't have really serious mental malfunctioning going on, it's just fine to go to sleep. And it actually probably helps your brain heal.
So you can sleep for just a long chunk of time, maybe a full night's sleep if you need to?
Yep. And again, after 4 to 6 hours, have passed.
Okay, after 4 to 6 hours on that one. And then again, you know, when we think we know about concussions is that maybe there's not a whole lot of help that doctors can give you when you have a concussion. But it turns out there is some treatment available for some aspects of the symptoms of a concussion. What kinds of treatment are out there for people?
Well, there are a lot of concussion clinics springing up, and they bring together a lot of specialists from different fields, and they're really taking lessons from the physical therapy field. So it turns out that if you have certain types of symptoms, especially visual symptoms and headaches, or the vestibular symptoms I mentioned, like balance issues or nausea, there are actually targeted treatments that can help individual symptoms get better. So if after a week or two you still are having trouble with any of these symptoms, you should definitely try to go see a concussion specialist, not just a neurologist, but somebody who actually specializes in concussions, or go to a concussion clinic, and they can actually help you. They can give you a program of sort of mental exercises or physical exercises that will help increase your rate of recovery.
And you mentioned a migraine drug in your piece.
Yes, sumatriptan is a migraine drug that's been around for a while, and that can actually help with, it helps with relieving the headaches of a concussion. It also is thought to actually speed up recovery in some patients.
So are these things that most doctors know about? If you went to your primary physician, who may not be a specialist, and you are looking for some of the treatments you talked about, are they going to have that at their fingertips, or do you really need to go to a specialist?
Unfortunately, most primary care doctors don't know a lot of these things. They might give you the outdated, outdated recommendation to rest for a really long time and say, you know, sorry, there's nothing we can do about your symptoms. And even going to a neurologist might not be enough because a lot of neurologists are behind as well in terms of some of these findings. So you really need to find a concussion specialist or a concussion clinic.
Now, one piece of information we haven't talked about yet, it seems a little obvious, is that after you suffer that initial concussion, you should try really hard not to get another one. Now, you probably would assume you're going to do your best not to get one in the first place, but why is it so important that you don't re-injure your brain?
It's really important because the first injury sets up your brain in such a way that the second injury can be really, really catastrophic. Because as the brain is recovering from that first injury, immediately, in just the minutes afterwards, it starts adding all kinds of new channels to try to get things flowing again and get all your cells signaling properly again. And it's like adding a bunch of lanes on a highway. So now there's a lot more volume of information and chemicals and things available to be moving around in the brain. So if you injure yourself a second time while it's in this state, and that can even be in the days following a concussion, it can cause a just catastrophic overload of the cells and the chemicals and things in the brain. And in some cases, it can actually be fatal. So it's really, really important, and this is especially true for athletes who often want to get back in the game. They say, oh, no, I feel fine. It's just a little dizziness. But it's really important not to get hit again.
Well, Karen, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
That was Karen Trock-Simring, contributing editor to Scientific American Mind, where she recently wrote the article, Six Things You Should Know About Concussions.